T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This is Loud and Local with Kevin Deers on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
It's Loud and Local, the stay-home sessions here, and I'm talking with Aaron Rev Peters, a.k.a. Rev. He is the man behind The Drowns, also Success, play Success and The Drowns here on Loud and Local. He's over, I believe, are you in Georgetown?
I'm in South Park, so just behind Georgetown.
So we are in the same city, but obviously hundreds of miles away in the idea of social isolation. So first off, how are you doing, man? How are you holding up? And are you working from home, or how are you managing to stay busy?
I'm doing all right, man. My wife is a nurse, so she works nonstop. She's out in the field.
Yeah.
And so I'm just kind of holding down the fort, working on some music. And, you know, I was watching a couple of your episodes of this, of you doing a podcast from your house.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there was another guy talking about, a guy from New York talking about how he was just trying to focus on things he's wanted to get better at. So,
yeah,
kind of do the exact same thing. I think that's kind of the way to make it through all this, honestly.
Yeah, that's something, man, is, like, I totally understand wanting to kind of veg out for a while and veg out and just watch some TV shows if you're bummed out or if you just, you know, who cares? No pressure, right? We shouldn't put pressure on anyone. But at the same time, and this, understand this is coming from a privilege of, or at least not having a family to take care of. So if you're on your own and you're at home or you don't have any kids that are relying on you to take care of them, now's the time to, you know, do the thing you've always wanted to do, because when's the next time we're going to be stuck at home for a while? Who knows? You know, it could be, and my mom's never had this much time to herself,
yeah,
she's in her 60s, you know, so who knows, man.
Idle hands, you know, like, I got to keep myself busy to, like, keep focused on anything, or I will just end up doing nothing, so
yeah.
It's more like a way to self-motivate, to just kind of almost pretend like it's not happening, you know what I mean?
This is, yeah, exactly. And this is, I know that you're someone who stays very busy. You tour a lot with your bands. You do acoustic stuff. You're in a couple bands. You do, you're a bartender as well. And you know, you're always busy. So you kind of have to keep some sort of normalcy. Is there anything, like, any kind of, like, rituals that you've gotten locked into that are, like, a part of your daily thing now?
You know, I'm fortunate enough to live on top of a coffee shop.
Oh, okay.
As Seattle musician, as that is, I have an apartment on top of a coffee shop. So I just grab coffee from them and start my morning out by, like, literally first thing I try to write something, like, whether it's lyrics or a melody or something.
Yeah.
Just to, like, start my day that way. Because if not, if I pick up a controller, I'll play Skyrim until my wife comes home from work.
Yeah.
But I have to, like, make sure that I start my day doing something, like, productive.
Yeah, I mean, because she's out there being ultra productive. And God bless her, because, you know, those are the real people that are just, like, continuing to hold down everything. And so I guess you kind of got to be the stay-at-home support system, like, make the food for her, you know, and take care of the apartment, right?
I think I'm doing a pretty good job, yeah.
Awesome.
Take care of the dog and the cat, and, like, you know, keep it relatively clean.
Well, that's one thing is this is certainly dogs and cats, like, best life right now. They are certainly, like, getting all the pets and walks that they've ever wanted.
Oh, yeah, my dog is
But the cats, I don't know. The cats, I think, my girlfriend's cat kind of gives a side, gives her a side eye. I think that he's ready for her to go to work and like have his own time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, sure. you're writing some stuff. Are you working on some solo material or stuff for Drowns, or are you just kind of just tinkering around, see what you come up with?
A little bit of everything. The Drowns, I mean, that's probably the hardest part about this whole situation is that when we started the Drowns 2 years ago, it was almost a militant focus on working hard.
Like, yeah.
I think in one respect, it would probably scare the most musicians diving into a band like that, because we right out of the gate were like, if we stop moving, we're going to quit. Like, the whole focus of this band is to keep pushing forward. So we ended up, I mean, in that respect, that like we made so much progress in 2 years because of that mentality, that it is a little tough to slow down right now. You know, like we're being forced to, obviously. Like,
yeah,
we just had a tour cancel that we're supposed to go on with Booze and Glory, to like Punk Rock Bowl laying it out around the U.S. and Canada, mm-hmm. and we had to cancel that, which is a huge bummer. But also, like, I'm just trying to keep productive and keep writing, whether it's for the Drowns or whatever, just to keep that same mentality of, like, you know, the working class, like, push, 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 because I can.
You guys just released an album. I mean, if anything, this should, under normal circumstances, kind of be the first, like, run of, like, the album cycle, right? And the album's Under Tension. You release it. Is it self-released, or is it on a label? I'm not seeing
it. It's on Pirates Press Records out of the Bay Area.
Awesome. Is that does Pirates Press, the label, have anything to do with Pirates Press, the print pressing plant?
Yep, same folks.
Oh, awesome. So yeah, you guys just released Under Tension, and dude, how long were you guys working on that record specifically?
So we went down actually, a year ago now. Not this last February, but the February before, mm-hmm. we flew to LA and we recorded with Ted Hutt, who's a producer who's worked on like tons of like great albums for the Dropkick Murphys and Flogging Molly, Gaslight Anthem, like all these big bands. And we just recorded with that guy for a few weeks, and then it took a year to have that record come out, as far as like, I don't know, making sure everything was perfect. So
okay,
we sat on it for a year.
When it finally was released, were you like, man, I'm tired of these songs, I'm ready for the next one, these are a year old?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, man, as you'd think so, but it was just enough time that I started missing them again.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so it worked out.
Right on, man. Well, so you've, the band that you are well known here in the area before the Drowns was Success, and you guys are kind of on a little bit of a hiatus right now. You're focusing on the Drowns and stuff. What made you take that kind of pivot?
So we're still, if you count this year, we've been a band for 15 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which is crazy. It's almost half my life. But we, two of the guys have like real jobs mm-hmm. in the band, and the two guys I started the band with, and they have kids now, multiple kids, and like house payments. And I mean, you know, just as well as anybody, like it's so hard to tour when you have that kind of responsibility.
Yeah,
it can be done and it can happen, but somebody's missing out, you know, like somebody's, I like to say at the bar, somebody's getting bad service all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you're focused on someone else is waiting on something, like that kind of idea. So the two guys wanted to focus on that part of their life, and I was 100% supportive of that, obviously.
Yeah.
Because they're my dudes. I mean, I went to high school with those guys.
Yeah.
And, so they started focusing on that, and me and Andy from Success were like, well, we're going to do another band. We started writing some material, and we called Jake, our buddy who used to play in the Briggs and Time Again.
Yeah.
And Shell Corporation. And so we started working with Jake, and then a little while into that, I had to talk to the guy's Success and be like, hey, this is going really good. Like, I got to see this through. And they were fully supportive of us doing that. So
I mean, you've made a ton of connections through your touring, and I mean, I seen you guys played with like 7 Seconds and like some of these people that, you know, are like probably growing up, probably heroes of yours. What's that like, kind of coming up through the, like, you know, basement and DIY scenes and the real, like, you know, the underground, and then seeing yourself, you know, playing Punk Rock Bowling and playing with 7 Seconds, or, you know, meeting guys from NoFX and stuff like that, and then just being... They're like your coworkers. They're your contemporaries. What's that like for you, man?
It's kind of crazy. Like, that's, I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say that's something I always wanted, was to kind of be seen as a peer with all these people that I looked up to.
Yeah.
So it's obviously a great feeling, but it is kind of crazy that I don't think I wrote my best material, and I don't think I put my best foot forward until I came to terms with the fact that I don't want this to be my, like, fame wasn't a thing, I guess. Like, the minute that I came to the conclusion that I'm not going to music to make money, and I'm not going to write music to get fandom, but I am going to write music that I love and that I care about and that I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And once I kind of made that deal with myself is when all the other stuff started happening. So it's a weird, like, juxtaposition, because it's totally cool, and I feel so grateful to, like, have these great opportunities. And it really is amazing to have someone you've looked up to, you know, admire what you do and be a comrade in a sense, but also, like, you got to stay humble, and you got to, like, you got to remember why you're there. I'm not there to buy a house, and I'm not there to, you know, I still have that basement mentality, and I still have that, like, the same inspiration when I heard the first Clash record is the same inspiration that I'm using to write and be on stage now. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean, and I like the way you kind of broke it down there, but let's go, let's take a look at that moment. Like, was there an actual, like, time that you can recall where, like, that became very apparent to you? Like, yo, like, I gotta just be honest with this and, like, humble with it. Was there an actual moment where you were like, maybe I won't, you know, make a, you know, a sh- money, but I still love doing it. Was there an actual moment you can recall?
You know, there are small ones every now and then, you know, like, where you're like, oh, you know, well, like, I'm glad, you know, when someone says something like, your song changed my life, that alone should make you stop and go, that's why I should do this, you know?
Yeah.
But honestly, you brought up 7 Seconds. And when we went on tour with them, I don't want to blow their cover, but they're not making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, they're doing okay. They're fine when they tour. But being on tour with those guys and having them have done it for so long. I mean, their first record came out 4 years before I was born.
Yeah.
So to have them keep doing it for so long and not get these accolades that everyone else thinks you should get or do get as a musician.
Exactly.
And them still doing it every single night with passion and heart and doing it because they believe in it. That alone made me go like, oh yeah, okay, I'm on the right path. That's what I want.
That's the thing, man, is you got to, like, they're still doing it for that love. And you know what? If those icons aren't making tons of money, you probably won't either. But, you know, I do, and I'm not trying to, like, toot your horn too much, but I do have to say, before this, about 2 hours ago, I was on a conversation with a guy named Ian Shelton, who grew up in Enumclaw. He plays in a hardcore band called Regional Justice Center, and I asked him his first punk experience, and he said, watching Pistol for a Paycheck, which was your first band, and he said that, like, you were his first, like, band that he would go and watch, and he was in love with you guys. So I do got to say, you did make an impact on that kid's life, and he's doing cool stuff now too. So
yeah, you know, Ian, I almost said I'm proud of that guy, but I had nothing to do with it, you know, necessarily.
Yeah.
But it's incredible what he's done, and he's turned out to be such a great guy. He actually, it's funny that he said that, because he taught me a lesson once. Success played, I'm trying to remember, it was a small lived venue in Tacoma called, like, the Red House or the Red Room.
Oh, the Red Room. Yeah, I know. Yep.
Yeah. So we played there with one of his bands. I think it may have been Bully.
Yep.
But he, you know, he was younger than me. So I always had this view. We're from a relatively small town.
Yeah.
And I always had this view of him as being like that younger generation who's into some of the bands that I didn't understand or whatever. And I, you know, kind of, I don't want to say blew him off, but he wasn't on the forefront of my vision. And then we played that show together. And he went on stage, and they were playing, and they were great. But also, he said something that day. He had a song about the focus was not having to be a smartass to get your point across. And if you're always one of those people who's sarcastic, how do you take anything in your life seriously?
Huh.
And I remember standing there and being like, damn, this kid is teaching me a lesson right now. He's like,
right?
He's talking to me right now.
He's speaking the truth.
And I still think about that all the time. So shout out to Ian. I miss you, buddy. But I still think about that all the time. I'm like, damn, that's a great lesson that this kid was teaching me at this hardcore show.
Right? Damn, dude. Well, speaking hardcore reality, straight from the streets of Enumclaw, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess that's a good pivot of just asking you specifically, and you know, we can go take this in any direction, man. I'm not I have no restriction as far as time goes. I don't want to keep you all day, but I am curious, what was the first album that you personally ever purchased on your own that made an impact on you?
That I ever purchased on my own.
Yeah, with your own money.
Yeah, well, the first album I ever purchased was Pocket Full of Kryptonite by the Spin Doctors.
Okay.
But that's
good snare.
That didn't really impact my life at all.
It's a good snare on that Two Princes song, man.
Oh, it's so good. You know, Success covered that as a secret track on a 10-inch.
Oh, my God. I got to look that up.
Yeah, don't tell anybody. I would honestly say probably Rocket to Russia or when I was... Your metal fans aren't going to like this.
But
when I was 12 years old, I was listening to Metallica's Black album.
That's a good album.
It is a great album. My dad didn't like it at all.
Okay.
And he took it away from me. And we got in a huge fight. And we didn't talk for like 2 days. And then my dad showed up with Green Day's Dookie.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, here, these kids are young and angry. You'll probably like this. And that was like my dad trying to like put a Band-Aid over our bad situation.
Yeah.
And from that record, because I looked at like the tattoos and the t-shirts of like what Green Day was wearing,
mm-hmm.
I went out and bought Boogada 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 by Screeching Weasel.
Nice.
And that's why I went and bought my first Ramones record, was because of seeing that, like the album art and looking up Green Day online.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like 12, 13 years old at that time.
And that's kind of how we used to do it, right? We used to like look at the liner notes and look at the t-shirts and look at, I mean, honestly, like say what you want about Phil Anselmo from Pantera. I'm not, you know, trying to advocate for his political beliefs, but every t-shirt he would wear was pretty extreme metal. Like I heard about Venom and I hear about like Dark Throne through Phil from Pantera. So,
I remember my sister when we were really little, we were living in Virginia for a little while and, my sister had a like gymnastics recital kind of thing.
Okay.
And there was a guy in a Deicide t-shirt.
Oh.
And I will never forget that t-shirt. It was like Jesus being like flayed open. And like, I was like eight, holy. Nine. And I remember being like, holy. And now that I look at that later, I'm like, wow, that's the kind of t-shirt you need if you're going to do extreme metal, because that kid will never forget that, you know?
Oh, absolutely. How about the Cradle of Filth? Jesus is a... It's like a classic. Well, okay, so I have a question that's specific to you, because I know that like you're covered in tattoos. You have a ton of tattoos. And do you have any band tattoos, specifically like for bands that you love? And if so, what do you have?
I do have I have a 7 Seconds tattoo.
Awesome.
And I got that. We went on, Success did 2 tours with them. We were fortunate enough to be able to go on a second tour with them. I got that, I believe, right before the second tour. I have Black Flag bars, as mm-hmm. stereotypical as that is, but I mean, I still absolutely love that band.
Yeah.
Just like you were saying about Phil Anselmo, I don't advocate for anyone's politics in that band,
yeah.
But, you know, I won't say any nice things about Greg Ginn, but I still love their music. And I have a Slayer tattoo, which most people don't know.
Okay. What do you got? Is it like just the pentagram or?
No, I actually, when I was, I think I was 19, I got Kerry King's signature tattooed.
Oh,
like
wow.
You do.
Dude, where is that on your body?
That's on my kneecap.
Okay, nice, dude. do you have any tattoos that are cringeworthy that you would...
Oh,
you...
oh yeah, of course I do.
What's
I have tons.
What's your most cringeworthy tattoos?
I think a really good one is I have Biodome, just the words Biodome tattooed on my wrist.
That's awesome.
I have... Actually, so at the Seattle Tattoo Convention in like 2007,
uh-huh.
I won for Seattle's worst tattoo.
Oh my God!
And I have a ballerina pickle that my friend David did on my other knee, not the Kerry King knee. We said it was a ballerina pickle, but it's like black outline, and then it has the tutu, and the tutu is the only thing colored. So it's not green. It's just a black outline. So it kind of looks like a turd in a skirt.
Wow. A turd in a skirt.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture of it after this is over. It's pretty bad.
So is it like a well-done bad tattoo, or is it just bad?
Oh, God, no. It's horrible. Yeah. It's like third graders would do way better.
Oh, okay. Did you ever have, since you're so, you know, around the tattoo world, and you just mentioned the tattoo convention and stuff, was there ever a time where you were like, I want to get into that? Or
I was a body piercer for a little while.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a body piercer for a little while. I worked at Art Core Studios in Seattle for a bit.
Yeah.
And then the money wasn't there for mm-hmm. me. Like at that time too, I mean, you know, Seattle, Georgetown, there was like no one there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what it is today. When in like 2005 or six, there was nobody there, and it was kind of like the hood. It was
kind of, yeah,
super sketchy. And there was like, that's where all the, like, there was a bunch of prostitutes and drugs everywhere. And, so I was working at that tattoo shop, and I just wasn't making any money. So I actually got a job at Microsoft.
Oh, wow. Okay.
After that, and like went and did that because of the paycheck.
And, but now your day gig, well, not right now, but you're a bartender, right? Why don't you shout out the bar that you work at?
I work at Seattle Tavern, which is a pool hall in Georgetown. It's owned by a great guy named Scott, another great guy named Hank, who are just old friends. And honestly, that job has really helped me in my musical career, because those dudes, they know what I do, and they know I have to go on tour, and they always help me out, and they always make sure I have work when I come home. So
that's awesome.
Thanks to Scott and Hank. They're the best. But yeah, the bar's super cool. It's a pool hall.
How do you, was this the first time you were a bartender?
No, I used to work at the Highline. I worked at a lot of music venues.
Oh, okay.
So I worked
cool.
at the Highline. I worked at El Corazon for on and off for like 8 years.
Okay. And Squid and Ink? Did you work at Squid and Ink?
No, I didn't, but I sure went there a whole lot.
That place is badass. Squid and Ink.
Man, it was so much fun.
If you're listening, Squid and Ink I believe that was run by Dylan, right, from the Highline?
Dylan actually just worked there, but Jared ran the place, and then they opened Highline together.
Nice. So, yeah, in case you're tuning in right now, I don't know why you would be tuning into a podcast midway. That's more of a segue on the actual radio. Nobody tunes into the podcast midway. But, hey, anyways, it's Rev from the Drowns. Going back to the Drowns, this is a hard one. And it's something that I've asked. But the honest truth is that there's no, like, a deadline here, and that we don't know what's going on with the world, and everything changes, you know, almost daily and hourly. But
yeah.
let's say, you know, fall, things start to get back to normal, maybe end of summer or something. Who knows? What would you like to get accomplished with the Drowns, and or even, you know, success or your solo stuff? What music wise would you like to accomplish, at least in this crazy year of 2020?
So we're just gonna keep pushing the Drowns. We got like you said earlier, we got a tour on this record we just put out that is doing really well. It's gotten incredible reviews, and
yeah.
It's done better already sales wise than we could have ever thought it would. And we're super excited about it, and we're proud of it. And it's I don't want to say it's politically fueled, because I just kind of write what's around me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gotten eerily poignant to our current situation. So I can only imagine that it's going to get a little bit more traction when the elections are going on.
Yeah.
I'm just going to try to stay focused on writing towards the Drowns. We're going to work on some new material. We're going to go back to LA and, record with, Ted Hutt some more, and
cool.
Try to just get as much as we can. And we still have, fingers crossed, we still have a European tour with a bunch of festivals with like Circle Jerks and,
wow.
like Cox Bar played and stuff. And we're, hopefully that'll still happen. That's in the, I think, end of July and most of August. So
yeah.
Fingers crossed that that'll still happen. And then we've got a tour in October that is still on the books.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers crossed. Which is going down to, it's like all through Canada, and going down to Oakland to play a Crash Festival, which is like an oi and street punk festival down there.
All right, right on, man. Well, we're going to go into a couple songs, and we're going to go into a couple songs from your album. We're going to play Black Lung and Them Rats. The album is available now, and you can purchase it under Bandcamp. It's thedrowns.bandcamp.com. The album is called Under Tension, and you can pick it up. We're going to play a couple songs, and then we'll be back with a few more from Rev.
But I can't make it go away. It stronger each and every day. It's not a surprise at all. Tied together by fear when we look outside. Landscape of hate right before our eyes. Don't break bread, stand up and organize. Let's make our move tonight.
We're back here with the Rev from the Drowns. And wait, when I say the Rev, it's like you're the guy from Avenged Sevenfold. You're not the Rev. You're Rev. Total difference, right?
I'm not that dude. That dude's not with us anymore.
Unfortunately. R.I.P. So anyways, pivot from that one. We've got Rev from the Drowns, and we're hanging out here in isolation via phone, doing this thing, Loud and Local, stay home sessions, and stay home, stay safe, stay connected, listen to our podcast, enjoy it, binge it, and listen to some local rock, local music. I got a couple questions as far as music goes for you, and one of them I like to ask because there's a lot of negativity out there in the world right now, and if you stay... Obviously, we want to stay connected and stay knowledgeable about what's going on, but there can be a negativity, like, feedback loop of just, being caught in the negativity of only seeing that, and it can be overwhelming. If you're ever feeling overwhelmed, anxious, stressed out, you're having a... Is there any albums that you personally can put on that will just get you in a good mood?
When 20 Summers Pass, the Shelter record.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's a big one for me. I mean, there's tons of positivity on that record. And also, there's a bunch of, like, there's a song about touring on there. And that's kind of my happy place, is being on the road. So anything that makes me think of kind of being out there and playing music with my buddies, that's a good go-to for me. Trying to think if there's anything else that I'm a big ska and reggae guy.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, a lot of, like, English beat, I think I probably gravitate towards when I'm not in a good mood. So, funny story, you were talking about moments when I kind of realized that I'm doing well and I'm, like, kind of achieving what I wanted to.
Yeah.
We played a festival called Back to the Beach last year that was, like, 20,000 people in Huntington Beach with, like, Blink 182 and Real Big Fish and Goldfinger and all these, like, big bands.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it was incredible. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. It's kind of cool too. They actually faced the stage towards the ocean.
Oh, so, that's so cool.
My view was like a sea of people and then the actual sea, which was crazy. But so we play this festival to 20,000 people and it's incredible. And we were really well received. And then I walk off stage and Dave Wakeland from the English Beat is right there because they were going next.
Yeah.
And he was just like, hey, man, that was great. And I was like, oh, thanks, dude. And then I went back in my trailer and was just like, oh, my God. So cool.
Try not to mark out too hard in front of him, but, like, you still like, oh, my God, what?
Oh, I kept the game face on for sure.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Dude, that's a good moment. And, if you get bummed out, you can just think back to that moment, right? That's a good time.
I'm fortunate enough to have a good amount of those to kind of stockpile. Like, I feel lucky. So far so good as far as like things I'm trying to achieve.
That's awesome, man. So today is Seattle Rock Day on KISW. This is probably not going to be posted on the 9th, but a lot of it is centered around helping Seattle musicians get access to sustainable healthcare through a company called Smash. So that is the big kind of to do for Seattle Rock Day. But on the subject of Seattle rock and Northwest music, what are a few local and Northwest bands? And it doesn't have to be huge ones. It doesn't have to be bands even that are still around. What are some Northwest bands that have made an impact to you?
I can't not say the Hollow Points.
Yeah.
The Hollow Points. They were a huge inspiration to me when I was younger, but also they became my friends, and kind of Benny specifically kind of pointed me in a direction, and they were the first band that I saw come from where we were and go do some awesome stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely a big one for me. I still listen to those records, and I still love the Hollow Points, and I try to preach the good word and tell people about their albums. And, I mean, currently there's tons of great bands in Seattle still doing their thing. I mean, you've talked to most of them. Burn, Burn, Burn and
yep.
Kids on Fire are mm-hmm. incredible.
Yep.
I was a big Instant Winner fan when I was younger.
Yeah. Shout out to Neil.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was so young. I was in high school, and some of the biggest shows I had played in my early years were, I had a ska band called mm-hmm. Rocket in My Pocket.
Yeah.
When I was in high school. And we were just a goofy, what you'd expect from a high school ska band. But some of our bigger shows we got to play were with Instant Winner, which was great.
All right, I'm going to throw in a name for you and tell me what this name brings, what memories this name brings. And it's in an obscure band from your neck of the woods, Ruckus.
Oh, dude, I was a huge fan.
Yes.
I'm still friends with Andrew and Jake.
Okay, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That punk rock for Hire EP, Monsters Do Exist, Ruckus was badass.
Monsters Do Exist was such a great album. I still, I can still remember the songs. I haven't listened to that album in probably 15 years, but, Faster, The Children Growing Old, I can still remember those songs.
I should Google Drive you that album, send you it to, you can jam out to it. Maybe.
Oh, I would.
Dude, just wanted to bring up Ruckus. Buckley Boys, I know from your hometown, so.
Yeah.
A couple more questions. One specifically I want to know from you, because I know music plays such a huge, huge, huge part of your life. What are four albums, and I'm putting you on the spot, I didn't ask you this before, four albums that kind of shaped who you are or made an impact, a positive impact on you, four albums?
I mean, well, obviously the first Clash record.
Yeah.
I mean, that one changed my life forever. I'll never not. It'll always be with me.
And that's self-titled by Clash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's still I don't know, it still resonates in my life every day. I can write a song and I can, it's my song, obviously, and I wrote it, but I can still hear, little bits of Joe Strummer in that. Yeah. You know? Just because it was so big for me when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. That, I remember the first time, the first show I ever saw was The Temptations. And I was
wow, that's the first show.
I didn't think I want to do that for a living, but I thought, wow, that's a job. That's cool. You know, cause I was a little kid.
Yeah.
But the first time I heard that Clash record, I was oh, this is what I'm going to do with my life. That's cool. It immediately spoke to me. Probably, My Aim Is True, the Elvis Costello record.
Yeah.
That was a big one for me. He's an incredible songwriter. And I'm a ska guy too. So there were little bits of ska and reggae and some of his music that were mm-hmm. cool. I'm trying to think. I'm kind of glad you put me on the spot, because I was this is a casual, fun interview with no stress.
Yeah, get to work.
Yeah, exactly. Probably Don't Try This at Home, the Billy Bragg record.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That guy is such an inspirational songwriter. He's so motivated, and what I love about his songs is that you kind of have to Google a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
His lyrics are so good and so smart, and he makes a bunch of cool references. On our new record, we have a song called Battery Street that I wrote about the homeless epidemic in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Or around the United States in general, but
yeah.
Just specifically from my view. And I quoted Woody Guthrie in that song, and I actually got inspired to do that by listening to some of the references to Woody Guthrie that Billy Bragg makes.
Okay. Yeah.
Such an incredible songwriter. I'm trying to think of what else. Probably. Oh gosh, you're killing me right now. This one's going to lose me some cool points. Probably Trace, which is by an album by a band called Sunvolt.
Okay. Yeah. Isn't that kind of alt country?
Jay Farrar, who was in Uncle Tupelo.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that's a big one for me. That one, as far as a songwriter, that song or that album has so many songs where I feel like I could see where that guy was at that time when he wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And that inspires me to kind of do the same thing. I like people to be able to listen to my songs and go, oh, I totally relate with that guy, even though I'm not that guy. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a great job on that album.
Nice, dude. All right. I'm going to have to check those out. To be honest, the only Billy Bragg album I have is the Talking with Tax Man About Poetry. But I'm going to have to check out
cool.
the yeah.
I mean, there's so much good stuff by that guy. I mean, he inspired so many songwriters. Like, Frank Turner played Wembley Stadium and had Billy Bragg open for him not too long ago.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's wild. Right on, man. Well, I got one last question, and this is a question that we like to ask. And I feel like you might have a good answer to this. So pick a scar on your body and tell us a story of how you got it.
Okay. So I was actually just telling the story to my wife the other day. We were talking about it. I have a scar under my left eye.
Uh-huh.
It's like a straight scar. When I was 5 years old,
uh-huh.
I was playing soccer and, I went in to get the ball from another player and he put his head down and he hit me right in like my cheekbone and it cut me open.
Oh.
And I went and got some stitches. Excuse me. I went and got some stitches uh-huh. and I wasn't necessarily that manly, if you will, about it.
Sure, sure.
Because yeah. I was a little kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But so my dad took me home and 2 weeks later or whatever, I go to get my stitches taken out.
Uh-huh.
And the lady is like, all right, this might hurt. And as she's taking my stitches out, I looked at my dad and was like, this doesn't hurt. My dad was like, really? And I was like, yeah, this doesn't hurt at all. And so, like, my dad takes me to get ice cream afterwards. And I'm like, you know what, Dad? Like, I feel pretty good about how it didn't hurt me today, you know? And I'm like a little kid. And yeah. my dad's like, all right, whatever, dude. So that night, my dad's in the living room. I walk from my bedroom into the living room. And I'm like, Dad, I got my stitches taken out today. It didn't bother me. I think it's time to take the railing off the side of my bed.
Yes.
And he was like, what? And I was like, yep, I don't need it anymore. I'm tough. We can take the railing off the side of my bed. And my dad's like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, no problem. So my dad takes the railing off the side of my bed. We go to bed that night. My dad wakes up at like 4 a.m. to me screaming. Because I rolled off the side of my bed and I reopened the same cut my toy box. So I had to go back at 4 a.m. to get stitches again. So that scar is like super prominent because I reopened it again.
And I bet your ass you weren't that tough the second time.
No, and my dad put the railing back on just to like teach me a lesson.
Goddamn. Good times, man. Good memories. So this is Rev. He's in a band called The Drowns. You can check him out. TheDrowns.bandcamp.com. The new album is called Under Tension. When the world isn't all, let's assume that they're going to go out on tour and maybe play a show here in Seattle. But I'll keep you updated on that. And maybe in the future, I can actually have you up to the radio station.
I would love that, man. And real quick, before we wrap up, I mean, I feel like nobody really points this out, but I've known you for a good time now. I mean, probably 15 years.
I think so, yeah.
I'm so stoked that you get to do what you were trying to do and you've achieved. Like, it's pretty incredible the level that you've gotten to and everything you've gotten to do. And also, like, thank you for giving folks like me a platform to talk. That's huge, man.
Dude, I appreciate that, man. Thank you very much, man. And I do what I can, and it's folks like you that keep me sane, too. So we got to come together. We got to stay connected during all this crazy. Dude, I appreciate the compliment, man. I really do. And we have been together since the KGRG days, so.
Yeah.
All right, man. We're going to end with a couple songs here. We got Wolves on the Throne and Battery Street. Any final words from you, dude?
Nah, man. Just I hope everybody try to stay positive. I know it's such a cliche thing to say, but the negativity can really take you down a rabbit hole in a situation like this where you have to stay home and you have to be alone. So if everyone can try to keep their chin up, I'm sure we'll get back to life as we knew it not too long from now. Yeah.
did. And where I'm from, we worked all night to keep the light on. The sound of those chains was the blood running through our veins. Fuel in our hearts, taking a run up and down the coast. The sea weighs it still, the kingdom before the wheel. She still looks beautiful, but her dress costs more this time. Oh, she's not the same. No, our hearts are in the wrong place. There's too many kids sleeping under the bridge tonight. Don't label me with a number I'll never see. You can't put a price on a family name. Look, Mr. Please, the only difference for you and me is I know who I am. I know where I'm from, like a skin in the game. What do you know? They still don't tell you my role. Don't pass judgment as you pass by me tonight. But I was here long ago, and I'll be here when you try to take my home. I'll never beg, I'll never plead for what is mine. When you look at the world, tell me, what do you see? I see flesh, I see blood, I see me. Don't label me with a number I'll never see. You can't put a price on a family name. Look, Mr. Please, the only difference between you and me is I know who I am, I know where I'm from, I'm just skin in the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.